There are self-limiting beliefs. I mean, everyone struggles with that, but like, I just try and not take myself too seriously, and that's how I do things, is I try and just like shut that critical part of my mind off for a split second so I can get something done, and then I turn the critical part back on and like analyze it all.
The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you. Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. I had the great blessing of being at the WeWork in Atlanta, Georgia, interviewing Hannah. You've probably already heard Hannah's episode right before this one. If you haven't heard Hannah's episode, be sure to click back. She is such a brilliant young entrepreneur, engineer, all the things. And I'm just so moved. I thought her and one of my mentors, Garrett, would make for a great bonus episode. This is actually a live stream that we did, so we're pulling the audio to present it to you in this bonus Women in Tech episode. Enjoy.
So just to like give us an introduction, as normal as like an organic conversation can be, give us an introduction just so everybody listening kind of has a framework of who you are. And as I mentioned, we're all in Atlanta, Georgia right now. Hannah is from Wilmington, but lives in Atlanta. We're sitting at the Atlanta WeWork. So I'm meeting Hannah for the first time. I met Hannah through another friend in Wilmington that I'd never met in real life that I'd known for over a decade. They're family friends, and that's how I had the good fortune of connecting with Hannah. So I'm literally getting to know Hannah the first time, but as you can tell, I'm already ridiculously excited. Like, it's out of control. We were talking about... So Hannah has a had a podcast, and she was talking about how her first guest was Seth Godin. So I'm going to go into intros. So kind of give everybody a framework of who you are. Garrett, give everybody a framework of who you are, and then we'll conduct as though the camera's not on.
Okay.
If that's even possible.
Yep. So I'm Hannah Wilson. My dad owns a software development company. So during high school, I was homeschooled. I had no life, which meant I was a computer nerd. I was on a high school robotics team while at the same time working part-time for his software development company.
That's insane.
While also doing, you know, like, my schoolwork.
How old were you?
Well, just high school age.
Wow.
So, you know, 9th through 12th grade. So, it was really interesting, like, being able to work with clients on real projects at such a young age.
That's crazy.
I started out doing, like, basic software testing. I moved into doing, like, tutorial videos.
Yeah.
Like, screen capture. I would even record the narration. Which was stressful. I'd sit with my mic and have like 2 minutes of silence just trying to get up the gumption to like speak. And then I moved on to doing like actual UX and UI design for our software, which is all the back end of companies, so like databases and CRMs. And so when I was 17, I started a podcast for teenage entrepreneurs.
Of course you did.
I will be honest, like, I burned out because I was in the middle of a very stressful work project while also being in 11th grade, while also taking classes.
And you were still doing homeschooling at that time.
I was, yes. And I've taken dual enrollment classes at a community college. So in my lifetime, I've homeschooled, public school, private school, and dual enrollment classes at a community college.
That's insane.
I have a variety of education. But yeah, so Seth Godin was my first guest. Dan Miller was also a guest, if you know him. He's a published author. Um, 48 Days to the Work You Love is like his company. He's similar to Dan or to Seth Godin. And then I interviewed two companies who were on Shark Tank. Also, so that was very neat.
That's awesome.
Yep, and then I hardcore burned out. But it was a very, very good thing while it lasted. So podcasts are fun.
And
I love them.
You take away the interview because I'm going to interview on the podcast.
Okay.
Yeah, so you
I mean, it sounds like she got more done in between 15 and 17 than most TechCrunch guys have gotten done in 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the same it's the same story you hear.
Yeah.
But the guy's 35 years old. The woman's 40 years old, you know, so you've gotten an amazing amount of things.
I'm so impressed by you.
It's incredible.
No, but the thing, how your energy and how humble you are is...
It's really like I've been placed in a scenario where I can do these things. I'm blessed with a really great family. I'm the oldest of 6 kids and we're all homeschooled. So we have like a really close environment. And then my dad ran the company. So really it was just like me taking initiative to like use what I had been given.
Totally.
To do so many things. So it's crazy.
She was exposed from the top down.
Exactly.
From the inside of the company, top down at a CEO level.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Great. Garrett, tell us a little bit about what makes you just absolutely amazing.
I've known you virtually for 10 years.
Yeah, it's insane.
And I forget even how we got introduced, even why.
No, I remember,
though.
Why?
What was it?
Well, I mean, I'm pretty confident that it was my Save Business Time blog, and you signed up for my blog, and I'm like, hello, like,
is that what
how
it was?
Can I
that,
help you?
That was it? That was it?
I feel like that was it, and you're like, how is this girl? And you probably gave me some feedback, and I probably was totally open to the feedback, so then you just gave me more feedback, and then I made you my unofficial mentor.
I just forget, but you know, there's a couple of years we fell out of touch, and then we got back in touch,
yeah.
And then we kind of got back in touch, yeah. And then out of touch, and then recently more so because of your podcast.
Yeah.
But it's been amazing that we've kept in touch.
Yeah. So tell everybody about it.
Well, I have a company called Cognition.com. I've been a multiple serial entrepreneur, as is said a lot today, but I really was from age 21.
Yeah.
And I've owned medical facilities, manufacturing companies, many, many companies. In the last 5 or 6 years, I've gone really deep into digital marketing with my business consulting clients.
Yeah.
We had to add that in. We can no longer come in as the experts and say, we're the big shot business consultant. But we can't fix your website.
Yeah.
We could no longer, have it happen. So we're actually launching a new platform. It's actually 60 days called Digital Agency Labs.
Dude, cool.
And it's a website.
Yeah.
And it's all of our in the field, on the ground digital agency work for the last 5 years. And we've systematized it and we're offering it as a platform, private label, white label.
Amazing.
To clients. So, that's coming. Yeah.
Do you mentor people? I feel like you would benefit so many people by being a mentor.
So another thing I did in high school, I was on a high school robotics team, a competitive high school robotics team, part of FIRST, for the Inspiration Recognition of Science and Technology. And so I was on the team for 3 years. I was a team captain 2 of those 3 years. This was all happening at the same time as the podcast, by the way. One reason why I picked out is because all the stuff I was doing. And I mentor that team now. Because they're in Wilmington, I don't see them very often, but we're like on a Slack channel together, and so I'll give advice. And that's the extent of mentoring I've done. So,
what was your robot?
I'm only 20.
That you built.
So it's like
you're 20 now. I didn't even know.
Garrett was asking me, and
I thought maybe you were 18. I can't remember.
Yeah.
No, people say I have a baby face.
No, it's not that. I can't remember what Matt told me.
I get that all the time.
I was thinking you could kind of impersonate Seth Godin because of your hair, lack of hair.
Yeah. I just need some colored glasses. You mean like yellow glasses?
Exactly. Yeah. We could take a picture of like the top of your head and link it to like the episode or something.
I could do that.
Like the site.
I could do that.
Yeah.
I could do all that.
So, dude, I feel like you wow me. I feel like I'm speechless.
Who, me?
No.
Her.
No, Hannah.
He said dude.
Well, I call everybody, I call my mom dude. Like, everybody
teleport.
Yeah.
She's like you at a younger age.
No.
She's turbo you at a younger
turbo.
Age. She's turbo you.
Turbo.
Should
I turbo
you. Same dude too?
Yeah. No. I just like, no self-limiting beliefs.
Yeah.
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 Well, there are self-limiting beliefs. I mean, everyone struggles with that. But, like, I just try and not take myself too seriously. And that's how I do things, is I try and just, like, shut that critical part of my mind off for a split second so I can get something done. Mm-hmm. And then I turn the critical part back on and, like, analyze it all. That's kind of how.
I just think you're rad.
Well, she's in action. She's effortlessly in action.
Effortlessly.
Nothing stops her. She's just moving.
Well, no, I don't mean effortlessly as though I'm putting no effort, but obviously you're a huge action taker effortlessly in the point, like you do your best so you don't hold yourself back is what I mean by effortlessly.
Yeah. She's like you. She's like you. That's what I said.
Yeah. I just,
you guys should be sisters, like you said.
I do feel she's like me, but I think she's the better version.
Well, I think so too, but what can I say?
I feel like fast you will be one of the top leaders if you wanted to be.
She'll be where you are now in 2 years.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, and then surpass that after 2 years. Yeah.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, in a good way though.
And I will cheer you on and be excited for you every step of the way.
You can be my fourth sister.
Yeah. Do you have two sisters? Do you have any brothers? Yeah, you have one brother.
I'm the oldest of six. So
whoa.
Two brothers and three sisters. I think so. That happens, right?
Nice.
I forget sometimes.
Yeah.
When you
it's a lot.
Where do you fall in that?
Oh, oldest.
You're the oldest. Oh, okay. I'm the oldest, too.
Yes. How many?
Four.
Nice.
That's a lot. Yeah. So do you have any questions?
Questions for her?
Yeah.
I want to know what your robot was. Did you win?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because you said you were the team captain. And
yeah.
So what did you make?
Yeah, so this is an international competition. People all over the world in high school do it. It's FRC, First Robotics Competition.
Okay.
And so you have groups of teenagers, usually like, on average 10 to 30 kids on a team. Think of it like a sports team, but instead of like playing soccer, you build a robot. And right. So you have seasons, just like in sports. And so at the beginning of the season, which is in January every year, you get a new challenge released by the official FRC headquarters.
Like it's got to like roll an egg and not break it type thing? Or is it like fighting robots, like combat
so
robots?
So it's more like battle bots.
Oh, it's battle bots.
minus the chainsaws.
The chainsaw.
We don't want to give like high schoolers, you know, machinery to like fight each other with.
Yeah.
So my first year was my favorite year for the game. While I was on the team, we had Frisbees. And so we built their 120-pound robots. That gives you kind of a size. They're like, you know, it was like that big.
Yeah.
So you're pretty good sized. And you have a very tight, like, constraints on the robot. Tight time. It's only 6 weeks. It's called the build season. And so the high schoolers, they just run with this. They take the challenge. So for us, it was basically like a basketball court size field, or maybe slightly smaller.
Mm-hmm.
Three robots on the side, and you're going against each other. So pretend basketball.
To kill each other. To kill the robot.
Well, the goal...
To disable it or push it out of a circle.
To blow it up.
To blow it up. Or to blow it up.
Sure.
Explosive-wise, or just like chainsaw cut it in half?
No, they didn't let us use explosives.
Okay.
We were high schoolers, remember?
So let's destroy the robot so it can't move.
Well,
right?
So you have Frisbees. So you actually shoot the Frisbees across the field into targets that are suspended in the air.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, so it's more of like
a
combat sport game than BattleBots,
like
where the goal is to destroy each other.
Like clay Frisbees? Or is it like
real Frisbees. Like these
were real Frisbees.
Like you go outside and throw. And so it was really fun.
Gotcha.
We were very small our first year, and so I was voted team captain. I'm not really sure why. I think it's because I was responsible and I cared, and those were the only two reasons.
And those are very good characteristics to have in life in general.
I mean, yeah, those are things
yeah.
You carry you pretty much the whole way, right?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make you a leader, though. But anyway, it was great. And so we had, like, these two wheels, like rubber wheels that spun a Frisbee in, like, a shaft, so it actually got it rotating.
Like a baseball shooting thing.
Mm-hmm.
The baseball
bat. Exactly,
thing.
And then
yeah.
It shot it.
Wow.
We had such power. Like, we demoed it one day at a high school, and we had it pointed up in the gymnasium, and the Frisbee shot so fast out, it, like, hit the ceiling pretty fast.
Wow.
So it was really neat because during the games, you saw the Frisbees floating, like, 40 feet into a target. The good robots could do that.
Right.
So that was the first year, and then I was on the team for two more years after that until I graduated, and now I'm still very closely involved. I'm actually going to see a bunch of them when I visit Wilmington again next week.
Cool.
So you can see why I was excited for you to meet her.
Oh, big time. You know, I think MIT is having a robotics symposium this month.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to college?
Are you going there? No? Okay.
No college. Interesting. Why did you make that choice?
That was a big decision for me. So I was homeschooled. So I'm like used to teaching myself. Like pretty much everything I know is self-taught. That sounds really like pretentious to say. But like you can learn so much on the internet. And especially in software, you know, which obviously is the field we're all in.
Yeah.
I feel like the industry changes a lot faster than like schools can keep up. Also, really the main reason why is I was making money freelancing for graphic design before I graduated high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I'd probably go to school to either do graphic design or software design.
Right.
I'm doing both of them right now for money.
Right.
Why would I leave where I'm at in a good place, pay money, be in one spot for 4 years when I can keep doing what I'm doing, do projects?
Mm-hmm.
Now I've moved to Atlanta, and I have even less reason to go to college because I have a full-time, fairly well-paying job for, like, being so young in software design, which is what I want to do.
So where would you say you attain, especially being homeschooled and not going to college, where would you say you have attained and will continue to attain your social skills? Because I've heard college is primarily to develop social skills.
Mm-hmm. Well, and networks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I was like... I got really angsty about my college and no college decision in like 11th and 12th grade. So I was like, what if I'm setting myself up for like failure and I'm going to hit the wall because I won't be hired because I don't have a degree.
Yeah.
So in college, there's what you learn. Mm-hmm. To me, I felt like I could cover that for my industry by myself. If I wanted to be a doctor, I'd obviously go to college. But then there's also connections you make. And then there's like the social experience. Mm-hmm. So for connections, that was my biggest concern, and that mm-hmm. continues to be my biggest concern. But my plan is to just keep doing this sort of thing. Like, especially in Wilmington, I knew a lot of people.
Yeah.
Because I was actually part of Cape for Women in Tech, which is Emily and Atkinson. I was one of the founding members of Cape for Women in Tech.
Oh, awesome.
Along with
I interviewed them.
I watched
And I gave a speech. Oh, you saw the speech?
I saw it today. I saw your interview with Emily Ann.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
The live stream version.
Oh, yeah. But that was super, like... Please don't judge me on that.
No, it was cool because you were like setting up the lying on the table.
Like
right now.
Literally, like this is me seeing what I see. Yeah. Did you see the talk that I gave? That the rest of the can judge me on that one.
Yeah.
I gave two. You know, in Wilmington, I gave two keynotes, and
I
so one was to Cape.
I saw one.
Was that recorded?
Sort of like live. I think there are portions that were recorded.
I'll definitely look that up. So that's how I try and get network connected is meeting people online. You know, like Jordan and Rolly, we were talking about.
Right.
He had the podcast similar to mine, also for teenage entrepreneurs.
Sure. That was the day he started it.
Yeah, and
he
so
actually asked me, "What's a good name?" It was a great name.
It is a great name.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
I think it would beat my name, Team Pro.
I don't know.
That I just try and like meet people. I'm super introverted, and so it can be a challenge sometimes to meet people, but I try and just like do it anyway.
Yeah. She's introverted.
Okay, so I have an idea, but I literally my only reason in suggesting or asking this is to benefit you. So if it doesn't benefit you, it's not about me. Because you want to enhance your network, I would love to support you in that, if that's something you want to be supported in. Is it? I'm not sure.
Sure.
Because maybe you're like, no, I'm good. Because you blow my mind so much. I would be more than happy to like involve you somehow to your comfort and around your boundaries in my Women in Tech work in a way that would enhance your network, only if that would benefit you. My only desire in like... offering or suggesting that is because I'm like, maybe this is a way that, you know, I can benefit her with her network because I'm just so proud of like who you are, or like, I'm even like so grateful to have met you in this world. And so it would be like incredible to like share what I'm getting to experience right now with everybody else, but I'm not just that for me. Is that something that you want to explore later?
Yeah. Sounds great.
Yeah. That bit, it just came to me. I'm like, what? I have a huge network here.
And especially my network was very limited to Wilmington, North Carolina, which is a pretty small, you know, town.
Yeah.
So when I moved to Atlanta last November, like 6 or 7 months ago, I did not know anyone except for at the company I worked for, besides, of course, Jordan.
Right.
Like, to give you an idea, something that popped in my head, and I don't write this in stone, like, it just, you know, as we were sitting here, I'm like, I wonder if Hannah would like if I bought her a Mevo and she could just do interviews out of Atlanta of Women in Tech. And then I was like, oh, she has an Android, and I think Mevo only works with iPhone. I was like, and I carried on with the conversation, but literally my head has been like, I wonder, because you're awesome, like... You really, there's not a lot of, you meet way more people than me. Are there a lot of people like her?
No. Not her age, no.
Or so older, you think?
Well,
I don't think there's a lot of people like her in general.
How do I say it? She's kind of like a Renaissance woman.
Yeah,
right?
You are.
And she's very well-rounded, well-spoken, she's well-educated.
And humble.
And humility. And,
Yeah.
So that mix at that young an age is unusual.
That's my favorite part, that you're really, really accomplished.
Renaissance woman.
But you're so
That's the homeschool.
Just sincere.
That's the homeschooling.
You think so?
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, actually, a lot of who I am is because of homeschooling.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Homeschooling scares me. Like, can you... I don't know much about homeschooling, but I didn't get homeschooled, obviously, and I just... I mean, isn't it different for every last person? Because you essentially get homeschooled by either your parents or someone that they hire, right?
I could talk about homeschooling for hours. So my mom went through, she's awesome, but she is a perfectionist.
Why don't you do a podcast on homeschooling?
I could totally do a podcast on homeschooling.
Is there a podcast on homeschooling?
I'm sure there are. There's a huge homeschool network. These homeschool moms get like really obsessive about it. My mom being one of them. They have networks in every city.
Wow.
Wilmington, as a small town, had multiple homeschool networks.
I met a lot of parents who homeschooled when I was just in Wilmington. Mm-hmm. And I don't really hear about it much now.
Yeah.
So it's big in Utah, right? The Mormon community? It's big with Mormons?
Yeah. I was just saying there are some stereotypes as you brought up Mormon.
Yeah.
So there are stereotypes of homeschooling, like religious, secluded, whatever, like isolating kids.
Yeah.
I have seen aspects of that, and like my family is very religious, but that's not why we were homeschooled. My parents are both well educated. My dad, you know, is a computer programmer, has a master's in math.
Right.
And they just, I guess, wanted to give us the best education they could.
Yeah.
What I liked about homeschooling is not necessarily what I learned academic wise in homeschooling,
right,
which was substantial because I've read a lot of books. Like, I grew up with books, bookshelves lining a room. Like, we have a pretty small house. We actually recently added another room to
just
our
for
house
books?
Through bookshelves. Bookshelves are the divider in this room to create a second room.
That's
in this
so
larger
cool
room.
I love bookshelves too.
Yeah, so I grew up around books, but it made me love to read and love to learn. And if you love to learn, like, there's so much around the world.
Right.
When do you make time to, I mean, we didn't really get into homeschooling as much as, like, it really does. I'm very curious about it, but I'm just also curious, when do you find the time to read? Because it's something that I struggle with, and I love to read as well.
Mm-hmm.
And even on the plane, right, I have a choice. My choices are technology, journal, or reading. And I do my best to be conscious about it and choose journal first.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes I don't. And then it's technology or journal, you know, and then reading's always last. And then reading, typically, I don't get to it. And then I feel like bad about it because I think it was more important than the technology.
So that is actually one of the biggest benefits of homeschooling to me, is that you're a lot more flexible with your time. So instead of being put in a class and listening to a teacher talk, when you're homeschooled, you have the opportunity to use that time reading instead. So basically, when you're homeschooled, you have a lot more time on your hands because you don't have to go to school every day at exactly the same time and be here and walk to class and sit and lunch and have structured recess. Instead, you get to like read all day, do work stuff, and then go play soccer in the evening with your teammates who are, like, wiped from their day of staying in school all day.
Yeah.
But instead, you've been, like, at your home learning about things.
You're energized.
Yeah.
Which was the country? Was it Finland that just eradicated homework?
Oh,
really?
Is it Finland, right?
I think it's Finland.
I
read
I
that.
I agree with that.
They stopped all homework.
You don't make
and the kids go to
smart
school 3 hours a day. And they're the top-rated educational country.
I read about that.
I wish the U.S. would learn about this because
they
think you just drill kids harder and they're going to learn more. That is not how it works at all.
I don't know what the incentive actually of U.S. education is. I don't think it has a lot to do with educating the students. That's another conversation for another time. But like, what's your typical day look like? Like, do you include reading in your typical day?
Yeah. So when I was in high school, let's just take high school as an example. So I would actually read even more than just like reading books and stuff because, so the way it works is when you're homeschooled, you don't actually have to have an adult teaching you everything like we're doing right now face to face, like a teacher teaching you.
Hmm.
Even with your parents, they're usually not teaching you. At least for me, that's how it was. You get a book, like, let's take math. We had a curriculum called Saxon Math.
Right.
Every lesson had a couple pages of written instructions, like, we're going to go through this proof for this equation, and it writes it out, literally, like, printed on the page, instructions teaching you about math.
Right.
And then you flip the page, continue learning, and then you have, like, 30 questions to answer. So I would read the lesson, answer the questions, I would then grade myself. That's something I don't think every kid can handle. I am an overachiever. And I don't mean to say that it's a good thing necessarily. Like, it's hard sometimes to be really perfectionistic. But anyway, I'd grade myself, mark my questions that were wrong, and try and figure it out. And then if I had a question after that, if I was feeling extra overachiever, I would then like ask my dad, you know, who's very good at math, like, yeah. What is this thing? Mm-hmm. It's actually really stressful as an overachiever to be homeschooled because you hold yourself like really highly accountable for all your schoolwork.
Totally.
In public school, like I was honestly held to a lower standard than like I held myself at. So when I went to public school, it was a less stressful experience than teaching myself. Because when you teach yourself, there's never a point where you're like, okay, I've hit the established level of like, I made 100 on the test. I don't need to learn anymore. In homeschooling, it's like, you see the endless opportunities for learning. And so you keep like,
that's like me in life.
That's totally me in life.
Yeah. I think it's any entrepreneur.
So I think it prepares you better for life then because it's more of a real life.
Yeah. In life, you aren't graded. It's so true.
If you make 100, you win at life.
Yeah.
Somebody said a great quote on TV 2 weeks ago, whatever, and it was, stay curious, never complacent.
Yes.
Ever curious, never complacent.
Yeah.
Kind of says what you're talking about.
Do you guys know the Econ Talk podcast?
No.
Okay, so I think it's Standard Business Institute. I want to say, I think that's the right college. This guy, Russ Roberts, just interviews economists. My dad really likes his podcast and got me into it. It's very highbrow. So you have to send it to me so I can at least check it out. Yeah. And so he interviewed an economist recently on complacency in the culture. And like people are moving to cities less. Like they're actually moving less.
New York is moving out big time.
Yeah, and people are kind of like staying where they are and they're happy with where they are.
Yeah.
And how, although that's a benefit of like having a stable economy and like good resources, can actually like hinder innovation. So complacency is my new anti-word of how I want to be.
Wait, but you still didn't totally answer my question. Like, and I'm asking for very selfish reasons. Like, how, when do you make time to read? Like, what's your typical day look like now?
Yes.
Just because I want to read more. Yes. So I'm like, this girl that's equally into technology, equally ambitious, somehow finds the time to read. What is she doing differently than
I'm doing? So I've actually lately gotten a lot worse at reading because I've been like busy with work and stuff, and Netflix is terrible.
Yeah, technology.
Terrible. I love it, but it's terrible.
The Netflix binging.
Goodness, yeah.
It's hilarious.
But like last year I set this super ambitious goal of reading 100 books in the year. I did not hit that goal. But
at least you had a goal.
And I did get over 50. I think maybe I got 50.
What?
You know, guys, I could crack open my iPad right now and show you all the Kindles I haven't started reading yet that I bought. There's like 25 of them. I'm not kidding it.
I don't think you're kidding. Have you set your goal?
I was going to read them on trips and on vacation and on coffee time, and my days have just been
That's a good point.
That's interesting.
So you set the goal, but then how do you follow through to take action on the goal?
Because
like Garrett's goal is 25.
Yeah.
No, that's just 25.
I'm just saying
there's 25 Amy.
So your goal is 25.
I cracked into 30 other ones in the first page, but I haven't even gone past the first page yet. It's like 50.
Yeah. So I would actually do the math, like how many books do I need to read every month and every week. I set a goal of 2 books a week because, you know, 52 weeks a year. So that's,
you read fast, I imagine.
I do read fast.
I'm very slow reader.
And so the interesting thing that happened, it was the first time I set myself a goal. Goal setting is something I need to work on in my life in general. First time I set a goal for reading, I did it because I could see that I was getting more into watching Netflix than I was when I was younger because I got older. And as I got older, I got my computer, I got my iPad.
Yeah.
A lot of options opened up for me to get distracted by TV.
So I took a question for her. So I want to ask you what your favorite binge Netflix show is. It just sucks your life away.
Well, I really got into Doctor Who
a
couple years ago. I think it peaks at season 4 of the new ones. It's gone steadily down.
No Walking Dead, House of Cards.
No, actually
none
not.
Of that stuff. Or,
no. Have you ever
Parks and Rec, though?
Parks and Rec.
Very bingeable.
Have you ever watched the YouTube channel Charlie Is So Cool? Like,
yes.
That's how I know who Doctor Who is.
That's so funny. Yeah, I have seen a couple.
Do you know who that is?
No, I'm just laughing because it's someone that you're obsessed with. It's just kind of funny.
He's like a really cool, he's an OG YouTuber out of England and just really, really cool. And he's super into Doctor Who.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
I'm a huge PewDiePie fan myself.
Oh, I love PewDiePie. Do you like PewDiePie.
I'm joking, of course.
What? I totally do love PewDiePie. PewDiePie and yeah. Casey Neistat are my favorite YouTubers.
Casey's
yeah,
awesome.
I do know Casey Neistat's
yeah.
awesome too. Yeah.
Wait. Okay. Wait. But
okay. So
how do you choose? How do you choose a book over? Are you? Do you consider yourself addicted to technology? Like to your phone or to
yes, I do now.
How do you
not
choose non-tech to tech? That's my issue.
Yeah.
Is that like if I'm like, let me check my email. I'll check the email over. See, look how addicted he is.
iPad. I've never seen an
it's
iPad.
So huge.
What type is it? Like what version?
Oh, this is a private. Version from Japan that'll sell in the U.S.
They're so fancy.
I'm just faking it. I'm just lying. Liar, pants so far. And I'm just opening this up to actually show you the books I'm not reading.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. I bought. Yeah.
So how do you choose? Yeah. How do you choose a book over technology? I'm having some sort of block going on.
I'm not lying. Those are completely unopened.
That's a good one. Oh no, I thought that was the Grant.
It's backwards on the I'm gonna be perfect. But it's like
let's see how I
Yeah, so you have like
The Subtle Art of Not I met him.
Subtle
He's
art,
really cool.
Brandon
the Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Remarkable You, Reinvent Yourself.
I've seen that one, 6 months, the Six Figures.
CMO's Periodic Table, Spy the Lie.
Tools
it's great.
Tools that I have
Tools
of
Titans,
yeah.
New Authority Disrupted, Dan Lyons, I Did an Execution.
You know what you should read, Garrett? You should read Idea to Execution to figure out how to execute on reading
it.
All these books.
Tell me about it. Definitely.
Start with that one right there.
I mean, you've got a Power. Power. God, what are some other ones here? This is not as interesting as talking to you.
But yeah. So how do you choose? How do you choose the book? I'm just waiting for that oracle of knowledge. So I will leave this room and I will. I like right now. I'm reading one thing, and the reason I'm reading one thing, my friend Daniel gave it to me as a gift, and it's because I just made a huge change in my company, and he thinks it would be a lot more powerful if I mastered focusing on one thing, and so I'm reading it to like. Learn and I'm not reading it not fast enough, as in literally because I'm a slow reader. I'm okay with that, but like I could be done with it by now, but instead I will open my phone and check my email, or I will use that 10 minutes to not read the book. And I'd like to choose to read the book, but I'm feeling all these just addictive blocks. Mm-hmm. Like I want, like even like the phone's just around, I'm like, let me just check it real quick, you know. So yeah. how do you
Well,
stop yourself.
You choose.
I will say,
no, it's not. Come on.
They have apps, you know, they have apps that block your access
and
to Facebook.
Drugs,
and stuff.
But you know, like.
No, but they have apps you can put on your computer. It blocks you from going to Facebook.
I have.
You know,
it's not just Facebook.
I have that installed in Chrome right now during the work day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do?
When I freelanced, I had Facebook redirecting to my project management.
What'd you have?
I had an app in Chrome that I downloaded.
But what was it called?
I don't remember. It's just like a redirecting thing. So you put in a website that you want it redirected. So I redirected Facebook to my project management.
Oh, that's so funny!
So I instinctively typed in Facebook.
Oh,
let's
it.
Just see. Then it.
That's great.
That is great.
You need that for your phone.
Yeah, I do.
I
have a social blocker on my phone, but it's not today. Like on the plane. So on the plane, I don't have. Social media access on the plane, or at least not on this flight, right?
Yeah.
And it was my phone, my journal, and my book. And I wrote in my journal first. But even while I was writing in the journal, I was like, oh, let me just write that note to myself in my calendar. And I would just keep going back and forth, like back and forth, back and forth. I wouldn't just stick to writing the journal. I'm like, what is up with me?
Yeah, so to me, I don't think that, and I experienced that myself also. And I've gotten worse at it this year. Like, especially moving to Atlanta, like, I just have a lot more on my plate now, which makes me more stressed, which makes me more inclined to do the easy thing, which is watching Netflix over reading. I think it's not a question of what can I do to make me read more. I think it's, like, for me, it's admitting that I have a problem with technology, especially as someone who works with technology every day. I'm on my computer at work all day anyway. I'm, like,
you know how I get around
my screen.
You know what I do? I have a trick. This is kind of a trick. If you for me to read, if I'm on planes flying, that's when I get the most reading done.
Yeah.
You know, either a book or an iPad. But for
you
example,
tell me to fly more?
Yeah, you could. Like, so for this weekend, for example, if I want to really go read for 4 hours, I'll leave everything at home. No phone, nothing. Just take the iPad, which is not, there's no email on it or anything, or a book.
Yeah.
And then go sit in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
And then just read.
I thought about that. There's this place, this club that I have a membership to in Los Angeles, and they have this really nice, like, comfy chairs and stuff. I'm like, you know, I should just kind of make it a ritual to grab a book and go to this, like, place even once a week to just have a little me time. And
But don't bring a phone, though.
I know.
The problem for me is I like to listen to music while I read, so I'll have my phone for my music, right?
Yeah.
But then when you have your phone, it's so tempting.
What you can do is this. Use your iPad. iTunes on here, and then read.
I don't know. They made them so large. I'm not part of the Apple cult, so.
You are?
I'm not.
Oh, you're not? Oh, you're not?
No. She has a Toshiba with an Apple sticker.
See, I just changed.
Can you please show your
music? Oh, that's hilarious.
Like, it is hilarious.
So... This is the first time I have a named computer, but it's my favorite computer just because of this super cheap decoration.
Are you ready? Look.
It's a Toshiba computer. If you can see right here, this is engraved. It says Toshiba, but it's a gray computer. And so I was freelancing for graphic design. Even my clients would judge me. I could tell they were judging.
Yeah.
They're like,
it's pretty funny.
So you don't have a Mac, but you're a designer. It's almost like I felt like they thought I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't using the right technology.
It's very true.
According to them.
It's very true.
Yeah.
It's true that people think that. I don't know if it's actually
accurate. No, they do think that.
That I'm less of a graphic designer.
They do think that.
Right. I guess I grew up around the tech people.
But it doesn't mean she's actually not as... It doesn't actually have any significance on her actual work.
I know that. I know that.
I'm not like the hipster graphic design person. I'm more of like on the software development side.
Yeah.
That's what I grew up around.
Yeah.
The hackers, like Windows, because Apple blocks a lot of stuff. Correct. Especially the App Store. You don't know how much trouble it is to develop an app for an iPhone because it has to go through a 2-week process of getting it approved.
Yeah.
Android, you just stick it up there. So because of that, software developers like Windows more, I've inherited that.
Yeah.
So I was here using my Toshiba, and people were making fun of me and judging me. So one day my dad got an iPhone, had extra Apple sticker in the box, and so I stuck it on my computer. And literally the next week it started, people were like, oh, congratulations on getting a Mac. You got a Mac. Yeah, so this is my Mac Shiba. Spelled M-A-C, capital T, Shiba. So Mac Shiba, one word.
Wow.
And then, of course, my Let Me Google That For You. So it's the Shiba. Let Me Google That For You. Mac. It has symmetry. I really like the way this looks.
It's very zen.
And it's very sarcastic.
It's very zen sarcastic, like an apple.
It doesn't.
Oh, sarcastic.
It doesn't appear sarcastic. Like, it's kind of an inside sarcastic.
It's zen sarcastic. It is, but it's not. It's kind of gentle sarcastic.
My old business partner used to send me that all the time. Let me Google that for
you. The problem is most of the people who are the type who ask you questions like that are higher up than you or your clients.
Yeah.
So I can often use this site. But whenever I could, it made me extremely happy. So, it's fun actually.
Well, next week our guest will be Seth Godin. You got someone who can get him on the phone, I mean, right?
Why don't, before we turn off the video, why don't you guys, one more time, how they could find each of you?
Okay.
Sure.
All right, so me, my blog / website kind of hub for all my stuff is byhananiah.com. So it's byhananiah.com.
Cool.
And that's where.
And I'm on Facebook, just Garrett Carrara, GarrettCarrara, and cognition.com is the website, cognizion.com.
And since this is on the Women in Tech Facebook group, if both of you want to go to the Women in Tech Facebook group, go to womenintechvip.com and we'll take you straight there. And then I'll accept the ad. So then if you guys want to just talk to them, you could just at Hannah, at Garrett.
Cool.
And, and the Facebook group, as you guys know, is not, we're an inclusive society. So you're allowed to be.
Got it. Thank you.
We are all about being a supportive culture and community.
Cool.
Being inclusive.
You're diverse. It's good.
Yeah. You just have to get a wig first. That's
Cool, thank you. Bye guys.
Betalist, one of my favorite companies to gain exposure to your startup before you're even live. Go to betalist.com/women in tech and get featured. Yes, get your startup featured while still in beta and make sure people know that you're about to go live. So when you open the floodgates for business, you'll be ready with pre-existing customers and signups. That's betalist.com/womenintech. The Women in Tech podcast is an independent production funded by you, the community. To support Women in Tech, if you believe in the vision as much as we do, please consider going to womenintechpodcast.com. That's womenintechpodcast.com, and just click on the contribution link to keep this podcast going. Thank you.